Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is November 2nd, Election Day. In Virginia and New Jersey, we have some big ones. It's the gubernatorial election, so get out and vote and let your voice be heard. Don't complain if you don't vote. no matter what side of the aisle you're on, because you could be the one. I will be going after the show to my local polling place. Actually, it's right down the road, so it's not a big deal. But I'm on my way to work. Just leave a little early. I doubt it's crowded this time of day because everybody's at work. And there's only maybe 6,500 people in the whole county, so I probably could have went and voted before I went to bed at 8 o'clock in the morning, but I wasn't doing that. Well, I'm not wasting gas just to go there and back. And if it wasn't raining, hey, I could have walked. It's a little chilly, though, depending on where you're at, where I'm at. Starting to get some cold stuff coming in this week. So at least it's wet instead of white. Now, that's not a racist remark or a sexist remark. I prefer rain over snow, especially living on a mountain. You got to drive in this stuff. It's not the best. Anyway, the racing season is over this coming weekend. We have NHRA in action at the Las Vegas Nationals. NASCAR, all three, were down at Martinsville, going from the round of eight to the final round of four, which will be held in Phoenix. And NHRA will be in Pomona. But anyway, let's get to the NHRA results. The ladders are Steve Torrence up against Mike Salinas. Salinas has been hitting them final rounds pretty good. Let's see who takes home the Wally this week. And Salinas was the number four qualifier. Torrence, number two. Salinas, first round up against Doug Kalita. Not an easy, from what I could see, not easy competition. He takes an 058 to an 072 off the light for advantage for Salinas. And then a 372 with a 6 to Kalita's 373. So he got him all the way around. Not cool. Then up against Billy Torrence. That's Steve Torrence's father. 065 for Salinas with a 372. 084 and a 374. So had him beat pretty good there. Then up against Brittany Force, who was your number one qualifier, which was kind of interesting because both Brittany and second-round competitor Leah Pruitt faulted off the start. An 069 for Brittany and a minus 210 for Leah. So both hit the red light, but Brittany had the 374 where Leah had an 8.08. Brittany was closest to the tree, so she gets to move on, face Mike Salinas. Anyway, Salinas, an 027 with a 370, and Brittany Force with an 058 and a 368 with a 2. So, what am I looking? A 3/100 of a second advantage off the tree for Salinas gives him the advantage because Brittany had the faster ET by 2/100 of a second. That's what getting a good jump off the light. Now, not jumping way early, but so he takes the whole shot, went into the final. Torrence, on the other hand, number two up against Jim Maroney. 074 to Maroney's 059, but Torrence with a 375, Maroney with a 411. No big deal there. Up against Tripp Tatum, round two, 065 for Torrence, 114 off the light, 373 and a 667. Well, you have a pro stock time versus a top fuel time. Then up against Justin Ashley, 063 for Torrence and a 368 with an 8. 357 for Ashley and a 372. So in the final round, it is Steve Torrance with an 045. Salinas with an 055. Give a 1/100th of a second advantage there. And down the track, it's a 373 for Salinas and a 371. So give it to Steve Torrance. For the win, Brittany Force had a low ET at a 367 with a zero in round one. Her 368 in the semis wasn't too bad either, but not quite matching her round one ET. Best reaction time was that 027 for Salinas against Brittany. And then Justin Ashley had the top speed at 331. And funny car. It's Ronnie Capps up against Cruz Pedregon. Your number one qualifier was Alexis DeJoria. She's getting back into the swing of things after having some time off. So it's Cruz Pedregon against Ryan Capps. So Capps was your number eight qualifier. The cruiser was number seven. So they were close together from the get-go. One was the first half of the ladder. One was the second. Let's follow Capps' path. An 068. At a 391 versus 055 against Tim Wilkerson's 055 and a 394. Wilkerson made up 1/100th of a second off the tree, but it wasn't enough to get down the track faster. Alexis DeJoria in round two, 078 for Capps. 122 for Alexis, a little slow off the light there. A 388 with a 4 and a 399 with an 8 for Alexis. Capps moves on, of course, because he made it to the finals. His number semifinal round battle was up against Robert Height. 066 for Capps, 077 for Height. But Capps with the 390. Robert Height had some traction issues with a 552. On to the finals, awaiting Cruz Pedregon. Pedregon up against Tony Jurado in round one. 72 for Cruz, 394. Jurado, 105, 403. Not close there. Then up against Chris Morrell. 093 for Morrell, 073 for Cruz. Two whole 100s there. But then a 390 with a 3, the Morrell's 419 with a 3. Pedregon with his closest battle off the light, actually wasn't even close. 004 for Cruiser, 392 with a 4, Bob Tasca, the third. 066, so Cruz made Tasca, looks like he was napping. And then a 1096 with a 1. All right, here it goes. 022 for Cruz. Cruz been getting some pretty good reaction times there. Ronnie Capps, 049. So he had a 2/100th of a second jump off the tree. And then 425 with a 7 to Ronnie Capps' 685 with a 4. Cruz gets his first Wally in quite some time. Capps runner up. Low ET, Ronnie Capps, 388 with a 4. Best reaction time, 004 for Cruz. Of course, funny cars usually don't get it that good. And Ronnie Capps with the top speed. On to the Pro Stockers. Pro Stockers. You know, you can always call in at 646-649-1899. I will take calls. Yes, I do. All right, Pro Stock. comes down to Dallas Glenn and Erica Enders. Greg Anderson, who's your points leader, was your number one qualifier. Erica was fifth, and Glenn was third. So not too far off there. Let's follow Glenn to the finals. 0-16 to a minus 0-14 for Stanfield, and a 6-68 with a 2 to Stanfield's 6-70. But Stanfield fouled out. So he advances to up against Kenny Delco. Dallas Glenn with a 0-03. Kenny Delco with a minus 0-71, so foul out. 6-67 to a 6-73 wouldn't have made a difference. But you don't even have a fighting chance if you foul out. All righty, in the semis, 0-30 for Glenn. Mason McGahee in the minus 0-1-2, a 669 to a 668. Just think, if Mason McGahee would have gotten on the positive and not hit the red light, he would have won that round. But he fouled out. So all three of Dallas Glenn's opponents in the rounds fouled out. All right, let's go check out Erica. 0-59 versus 0-56 against Bo Butner. Was it Erica with a 6-68 with a 9 and a 6-74 with a 4 for Butner. Almost a hundredth of a second difference there. Then up against Matt Hartford. Oh, 34 for Hartford. Oh, 28 for Erica. 669 with a 5 for Hartford. 669 with a 5 for Erica. I wonder if technically that counts as a hole shot because their IETs are identical, but her reaction time was that much quicker, so she got to the finish line sooner. Then up against Troy Coughlin Jr., 0-1-6 for Coughlin off the tree. 0-1-6 for Erica off the tree. 691 for Troy. 668 for Erica. And that's the one that puts her into the final. And here we go, the final round. Boy, this was a battle and a half. Erica Enders, 0-0-5. Almost perfect. Anytime you get two zeros in at reaction time, you figure triple zero is perfect. 668 with a 4. Very good ET. Dallas Glenn, 0-0-1, even more perfect than Erica. And he had the number of the beast, 666. Give him the Wally by not by much. So poor Erica gets runner-up. Low ET, 664, Greg Anderson. Best reaction time in that final round, 0-0-1, Dallas Glenn. And Greg Anderson with your top speed. Pro Stock Motorcycle, yes, they were all in action today, I do believe. Steve Johnson against Karen Stouffer. All right, Karen having a good run. She hasn't had a run like that in a while. Number 4 qualifier. Steve Johnson was your number 2. So Johnson, 687 to 715 against Charles Posky. Up against Angie Smith in round 2. 686 to a 699. I'd give you the reaction time, but it doesn't matter at that point. 0-54 for Johnson, 0-49 for Smith. Then up against Angel Sampay. This could have been ended different if it wasn't for that reaction time. 0-40 for Johnson, 0-90 for Angel, 6-87 with a 7 for Johnson, 6-83. with a 7 for Sam Angel. That 0-5 difference wasn't enough to make up for the 0-4 disadvantage. So she would have had if she would have had an 0-3 to his 0-4, she'd have taken the Wally. Or even if they were even. But she had a 4/100th of a second better ET. All right, up in the final round against Karen Stouffer. Let's follow her path there. 0-45 to 0-85 for Stouffer over Kelly Klotz. A 6-84 to a 7-03 in the ET. Then up against Jerry Savoie. Her 0-71 to his 0-96. Her 6-87 to his 6-92. Puts her in the semis. Then up against defending champ Matt Smith. She got him off the line at an 0-33. He had a 6-83, and she had a 6-86. So that off the 0-4 difference off the line, we'll call it 0-44, was enough to give her the whole shot. Then into the finals. Here it comes down to 007 for Johnson. Minus 012 hits the red light, which is a shame because all she would have had to do is get close to that 07 on the positive side. Her 683 would have given her the Wally over Steve Johnson because he had a 686. Low ET was Matt Smith at a 682. Ryan Oler had the best reaction time at 002, and Matt Smith earns the top speed honors at 198.9 miles an hour. Now, the bikes and the pro stock cars are the only ones that run the quarter. Nitro runs 1,000 foot. Let's check the standings. One event to go. Here we go. Steve Torrance with a 105 over Brittany Force. Sorry, Brittany, but I think he's got this championship in the bag. Mike Salinas third, Justin Ashley fourth, Billy Torrance fifth, Leah Pruitt sixth. See what happens next year when her and Matt Hagen go with Team Smoke, Tony Stewart's NHRA team. He's going Nitro, taking fiance Leah and Matt Hagen, which is interesting that Hagen is leaving a championship team in Schumacher. But, hey, Antron Brown in eighth, Sean Langdon ninth, and Doug Kalita. Rounds out your top 10 there in the funny car. Let's see. Ron Capps has a 58-point lead over Hagen. Cruiser, 83 back in third. That's doable for Hagen. That's a good round of racing. If Ronnie Capps craps out in round one and Hagen makes it to the finals and wins, he can take it. I think it's 20 points per winning a round, so that could be the difference right there. J.R. Todd, fourth. John Force, fifth. Bob Tasca, sixth. Robert Height, seventh. Alexis DeJoria, eighth. Tim Wilkerson, ninth. And Blake Alexander rounds out the top 10. Let's go to the pro stockers. Come on, let's go. Everything is slow on the internetto. And here we go. Greg Anderson, 32-point lead over Erica Enders with one to go. Come on, Erica. You can do this. You can You've won two championships in a row twice. This will give you the hat trick, the natural hat trick, so you can get that fifth one and pull away. Dallas Glenn is 109 back in third. No, he doesn't have a chance. Koretsky, Kyle Koretsky, fourth. Troy Coughlin, fifth. Aaron Stanfield, sixth. Chris McGahey, seventh. Mason McGahey, eighth. Matt Hartford, ninth. And Derek Kramer rounds out your top ten. Pro Stock Motorcycle. Is this one wrapped up? Or is it close? I'll let you know. Come on. There we go. Matt Smith, 20 points over Steve Johnson, 30 points over Angel Sampei in third. So this one is going to come down to the wire, too. You have three that are going to battle it out. Eddie Krawick, fourth. Karen Stouffer, fifth. Scotty Polacek, sixth. Angie Smith, seventh. Joey Gladstone, eighth. Andrew Hines, ninth. And Ryan Oler, tenth. And Cordy Reed, 11th. Apparently, they're taking the top 11. I don't understand. They always went with 10 in the countdown, but I don't know. There are your NHRA standings. One race to go in Pomona this weekend, and the winner, the champions will be crowned. All righty. In the race for the final four, Zane Smith, playoff, takes the win. He locks in. So he's in the final four. Austin Hill is second. Tanner Gray is third. Chandler Smith, fourth. Matt Crafton, fifth. Parker Kligerman, sixth. Ben Rhodes, seventh. Taylor Gray, eighth. Sheldon Creed, ninth. And Timmy Hill rounds out your top ten. Race took 1 hour, 54 minutes, 9 seconds. Average speed, 56.4 mile an hour, ends under caution. Smith had taken the yellow, needed the win to get in. It was the only way possible. Gets it done. What happened was, if I remember correctly, that wasn't on the truck side. Yeah, it was on the truck side. They both had both of them in the same day. Zane Smith came start on a restart. Was battling it out, came all the way around, just barely grazed, got the lead as they took the white flag, and then there was a wreck behind him, but being he was in the lead, took the white flag. And the yellow came out, and he was able to take the win and lock in. So, your final four are all even in points at 4,000. It's Zane Smith, Ben Rhodes, Matt Crafton, and John Hunter Nemechek. They will battle it out in Phoenix. So, it doesn't come down to playoff points or anything like that. Or maybe it will. I don't know. This was Zane Smith's only win of the year. So Matt Crafton made it through solely on points because he has no wins this year. So that being said, he will have the chance at taking home a NASCAR Cup Series Championship. Another points report? Why? Owner points, where's the... So we had 9 lead changes amongst 4 drivers. Your biggest lap leader led 3 times was Todd Gilliland. He led 3 times for 133 laps. Zane, the winner, led 4 for 65 laps. Everybody else was single digits. Carson Hocevar twice for 4, and John Hunter once for 2. 14 cautions for 89 laps. There was only one stage conclusion that was incident-free. So stage 1 conclusion did have a spin of the 4 car or 4 truck on turn 4. So that was probably happening as the stage conclusion green-white checker was waving. Probably came out with a yellow as well, or right before it. They just said mix them up. All right, let's hear what our winner has to say. Well, they took them all the champion guys, so. And we'll get a little bit of it. Pop up block.
I didn't write.
Okay. Here we go. We are now joined in the media center after today's United Rentals 200 with I should say two drivers heading to Phoenix for the Championship 4. It is confirmed now. So we are official, and we'll start with Matt Crafton and John Hunter Nemechek. If you have questions for Matt or John Hunter, please raise your hand, state your name and affiliation, and we'll also check in with the press box as well. So to kick us off, we're going to start with Kelly Crandall.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com for John Hunter and Matt. You both were talking about it, the lack of respect out there. How much is it a series problem, and how much is it the side effect of coming to Martinsville as the cutoff race?
Well, I think it goes back to us running 133 laps under caution of the 200 today. So, everyone is going to do what they want to do to try and make it to the next round, right? Matt would wreck me for a win, and I would probably wreck Matt for a win. It's just what it is. But at the same time, there's no respect there from guys that are out of the playoffs and guys that are in the playoffs, in my opinion, right? We're all fighting for a title shot. It's once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's so hard to get here, and there is a lack of respect in this series. I feel like you go to the Xfinity Series or the Cup Series, and it's a totally different respect that people have for each other. I've been the young guy coming in, and Matt has grabbed me around the neck and explained to me some different things when I first came in here, and we've had our run-ins and whatnot, and you learn from that, and you learn to respect those guys when you're racing them. But it goes back to just lack of respect. I mean, there's guys out here trying to prove their name. I get it. They're young. They want to succeed. But wrecking somebody all the time or in the middle of the race for no reason isn't going to get you very far. It's going to create more enemies than it is anybody else.
Yeah, he said it best. I moved to 98 right there. He got in the 2. 2 was upset at me because eventually – they end up wrecking a couple laps later, but like I said, Sheldon, I wasn't going to wreck him, but put a bumper on somebody. And that's racing. I mean, that's Martinsville racing. Just don't drive through him and wreck him. Then I moved 98. He did get in the 2, moved him up. We were just fine. And then my worthless teammate just drove through me off of turn 4. And I guess it was the last race for Thor Sport. So he's going to go show him what kind of cool guy he was. At the end of the day, like I said, we moved on, and I hated to see what happened to Sheldon, because like I said, me and him are friends, so I mean, he's cooled down after that, and he knows I didn't mean to do it on purpose, but I did mean to move to 98, and when I got in the back of him, so it was go time, but I wouldn't get to just drive through people and wreck him. There's a big difference in that.
John Hunter, you tweeted during the race after you got knocked out that you were stressed. What was it like sitting in the hall or watching everything unfold and seeing the points fluctuate?
Oh, I wasn't sitting. I was pacing. Yeah, there was no sitting down there. It was a roller coaster of emotions, right? You're pissed off because you got hooked in the right rear for no apparent reason, and then your day is done. You feel helpless, right? Like you can't do anything to better your position or anything to make up points. So you're at the mercy of what other guys are doing. I mean, I was the 38th biggest cheerleader there at the end, trying to at least hope that he won and the cards fell right for us to advance. That was best case scenario. But they fell right and we advanced by 4, which is a little bit too close for comfort, but I'm just glad that we advanced. I mean, my motto coming into this was survive and advance, and we didn't survive, but we advanced, so that's good.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. For both of you, so given all this, do you expect anything different next week?
At the end of the day, I mean, I'm not just going to drive through somebody to win a championship. I don't want to be able to do it that way. Are you going to lay a fender on them? Are you going to put a bumper to them? Yeah, absolutely. But if you want to be a punk to go wreck somebody to win a championship, I mean, that isn't me. But at the end of the day, if I do get wrecked for a championship, there is a gate that we can go outside and we'll settle it there.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the respect thing, right? Matt and I and everybody else is going to race each other as hard as we possibly can, right? But you don't want to be the guy that is known for wrecking somebody for a championship, right? It's not that way, and we're the two up here that are preaching respect, so that's what we hope we get from the other guys that are racing in the race to try and win a race, and then the four guys that are running for the championship as well.
And for John Hunter, if it hadn't worked out where you were still in the championship four, how would you have felt about the season, considering everything that you had accomplished so far this year?
I mean, I guess kind of like a failure, right? It wasn't good enough. We weren't good enough. But if it would have been that way and we wouldn't have been good enough, that would have been one thing. But getting wrecked and taken out, that's a whole different ball game there. So that would have felt like a failure to me. Yeah, we're set on kill. Let's go.
Thank you very much.
I mean, obviously, the lack of respect thing's not new today, right? Like, it's been this seemed-to-be-growing trend. So is there any way to reverse it at this point? Like, is this just how this generation is going to be and it's just going to keep going this way? Can anything be done to restore sort of that respect in racing?
Yeah, whip somebody's ass. I mean, after they wreck you at the end of the day, I mean, don't just talk about it. Do something about it. That's my motto. I mean, these guys work too hard. Sponsors pay too much money to just get wrecked and show no class like that. So just bust somebody in the mouth and it'll fix it, I think.
I think that, or have NASCAR get involved, right? There's nothing that NASCAR has done. It's just like the 22 incident. It's blatant that he just hooked me in the right rear for no apparent reason. It wrecked us, and that was that, right? Like, there should be some type of consequence there. I view that as the same thing as Joey Logano and Matt Kenseth here at Martinsville, right? They took each other out. It ruined the playoff deal. It's the same thing. Granted, the 22 wasn't in the playoffs, right? So how can you view that different, right? So it's being more consistent with calls and seeing those scenarios.
Tried to bump it up a little bit and see where we get. Hopefully we'll get the race winner. He should be the last guy up.
Pretty much just white knuckled it to the end.
All right, we're now going to take questions for Zane. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get the microphone to you. Any questions downstairs? All right, we'll start with Jeff.
What led to that? I mean, because you had restarted on the outside several times. So was there any like, okay, this is my one chance. I have to start on the inside this time. Like, why the switch there?
Well, yeah, I. really only restarted a few times throughout the race, and the last one was still few to go there, so I wanted to try it. Never knew if the 52 was going to move the 38 and I go around both of them, but the 38 was just too fast and really get it rolling the bottom, and so when it's a green white checkered, it's just so defensive playing, and so it just gets really aggressive, and I didn't want to line up on the top and just get moved up into the third groove. It's happened to me enough, and I've only been here two times. So I've learned my lesson with that. So I don't know. Honestly, coming into this, like, when you're in a must-win, it's kind of in your favor just with how aggressive you could be. And unfortunately, there were a couple guys that were pretty much locked in. I think the 99 or in the 4 were close. I don't really know the whole point situation. But if it was really close, then it would have been really in my favor. So towards the end there, it was just really aggressive. I actually think last year may have been more aggressive, though.
There you have your winner, Zane Smith. All righty, on to Xfinity. Guy that needed to win to lock in because he was below the bubble line. Takes the checkered flag, leading 6 times for 153 laps. Noah Gregson, driver of the 9. Austin Cindric coming second, Daniel Hemric third. I think all 3 and Justin Allgaier were the one. I mean AJ Allmendinger were the actual 4 that locked in. Allgaier kind of missed it a little bit, but I'll get to the points in a bit. But anyway, Sam Mayer fourth, Justin Allgaier fifth, Brandon Jones sixth, AJ Allmendinger seventh, Alex Labb 8th, Jeremy Clements 9th, and Riley Herbst rounds out your top 10. The race was 2 hours, 10 minutes, and 48 seconds. Average speed, 62.01. Margin of victory, 0.064. It was a close one. It was Gregson's 5th Xfinity Series win. There were 13 cautions for 75 laps, 13 lead changes amongst 6 drivers. So let's wrap up your playoff 4. It is Noah Gregson, Austin Cindric, Daniel Hemric, and AJ Allmendinger. Cindric, I think, won the first one of the round of 8. Allmendinger won the second one, and Gregson won the first one, the third one, and the final one, which gave it the 4th spot to Hemric on points and moved Justin Allgaier out on points. We needed to win one. Anyway, they all go down to Phoenix. Going to battle it out. Let's check the championship 4. AJ Allmendinger of Kaulig Racing, Cindric in the 22 of Team Penske, Hemric in the 18 of Gibbs, and Noah Gregson, driver of the 9 for Junior Motorsports.
All right, here we go, guys.
Zip
you, yeah.
Zip you.
All right. We have now been joined by 3 of our championship 4 drivers in the NASCAR Xfinity Series heading into next week's race at Phoenix, and obviously wrapping today's race here at Martinsville Speedway, the Dead on Tools 250. So we'll start with questions for AJ, Austin, and Daniel. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll get a mic to you, and we'll get to as many questions as we can. And who would like to kick us off with the first question? All right, Bob's going to kick us off. There you go.
It's true. Bob Pockris, Fox Sports. Austin, was there any thought in your head about if Gregson wins, Allgaier gets knocked out? Allgaier is very good at Phoenix. I didn't know. I was curious if that was in your head at all about how hard you pushed it at the end.
It didn't affect my final decision. That's my political answer, but obviously Justin's extremely good at Phoenix, but that wasn't going to stop me from trying to win the race tonight. I feel like that'd be really, really foolish and a disservice to my race team. So I had that opportunity and chose to do what I did.
Oh, thank God you suck at Phoenix too. So that.
All right. Additional questions? Any questions upstairs in the press box? Go ahead.
Hey, Austin, it's Jeff Book from the Athletic. You basically said on TV there that, you know, you didn't want to use Noah up and you wanted to race him a certain way. No offense to the Shark Eyes, but that was kind of a little bit different philosophy than we saw in the first race today. Why do you think that you guys, you know, despite still being maybe in the same generation or young guys, have a different philosophy of how to race than the Shark Eyes?
I think it's a great question. I think all three of us probably have a similar yet different answer to this. And there's a lot of experience. I mean, between Noah, Daniel, AJ, and myself, like that stuff usually doesn't work out too well in your favor, even if it's for short-term gain. And I feel like we've all benefited from the short-term gain, but also seen the penalty from it. So, look, we're all at that step where it's right under the cup level, whether if it's, you know, what my desire is to be or whatever, you know, their desire is to be in their career. Like there isn't anything higher after the Xfinity series. You know, once you move up. So, I feel like when you're in great equipment, it's a great platform to show the people at the next level how you intend to go about your business. Cause there will be a day that I'll be contending for a cup win, but I might suck a few races next year, but that's all about being a rookie. But at the same time, I feel like it is a great platform for me to really showcase what I'm about inside of a race car.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This is for Daniel. Another close call tonight. What's this one feel like compared to the others? And is it balanced out, the fact that you did qualify for the championship four?
I can promise you the last thing I want to see was the car I'm driving next year backwards decide to go. That was less than ideal. But no, it was, you know, I don't expect it to be easy, and I think throughout the last run, you got to prepare yourself for a caution if it comes out, and you know it's not going to be easy. So when it came out, it wasn't surprising. You know, the last 5 or 10 laps leading to that, it's about taking care of your stuff in case that happens. So, you know, your race car is best prep, and you're as best prep as you can be. So, but ready for the restart, and, you know, Austin and I talked after. It was, you know, choose the bottom, of course. He and the 9 goes to the top, and, you know, Austin drives in the 3 and or drives in the 1. I drive in the 1, and almost had my car positioned that he did what he was supposed to do and leaned on me a little bit, and it just positioned me to where the 9 got to run off the top, and how about that? It cost you fly. So I'm more disappointed about the decision I had to make in order to give myself and my race team a shot at next week, right? Trying to be situationally aware of, you know, I choose the top and give myself a chance to win, the race for a win, which would be great, but also the risk goes out the window as far as if you get shut, because I'm surrounded by 22 and then 3 JRM cars who are all in different desperate situations. And yeah, I promise you the racer and me wanted to line up on the top, but internally as a race team, we had to make the decision, and we all voted we had to go to the bottom. And you know, the 9 and 22 get racing hard. Obviously 22's got opportunity because the points coach in the race really hard. The 9's going to race hard because he has to, and if they get together, then we got a shot. We get shucked out of the top lane, we never have a shot at any of it, and we miss out on next week. So a lot going on in that short amount of time. For sure, disappointed to see a caution come out. But at the end of the day, we get a chance.
A lot of stuff we work on throughout the week with Josh, and he puts so many hours into not only myself, but all of us Team Chevy drivers. And you show him the commitment, he'll show you the commitment. And, you know, it's a privilege to be able to work with Josh. And I think there's a lot of guys who would love to work with him that just don't have the opportunity. So, he's a huge help and threat to our team and our organization and manufacturer Chevrolet. And, you know, it's great to learn from him and Scott Speed and Dan, and also be able to spend time with the other drivers in the Team Chevy camp and kind of feed off them, work out with them and whatnot. So Josh definitely doesn't get the credit maybe he deserves, and I thank him also much just for all his hard work and hours, and you know, he really truly cares about us and definitely makes us a much better driver. But you know, most importantly, I think he makes me a better person.
There you have it. All right, on to the Cup race wrap up. Okay, who locks in? Only one person could lock in with a win because Kyle Larson took race one and two of the round of eight. So that means everybody else would have to lock in or make it in on points because two of those locked in spots are gone. But lo and behold, Alex Bowman, who's out of the playoffs, winds up taking the win. He only led twice for nine laps. Didn't even win any stages. So he takes home the grandfather clock, and everybody else has to lock a win. Kyle Busch came in second. Apparently, he said something that went against NASCAR community standards and has to take sensitivity training before next year. Come on, man. NASCAR go woke or what? I mean, you know, it's starting to get ridiculous with this crap. I liked it better in the old days when the drivers were tough and spoke their mind. Anyway, Kyle Busch was second. Brad Keselowski was third. Martin Truex Jr. was fourth. William Byron, fifth. Eric Almirola, sixth. Kurt Busch, seventh. Eric Jones, eighth. Chris Buescher, ninth. And Joey Logano rounds out your top ten. He was the biggest lap leader of the bunch. Led both stages. Came home 16th. Led four times for 289 laps. Did not get the win. Surprisingly, in a 501-lap race, Chase Elliott. Then your next biggest lap leader was Denny Hamlin. Led three times for 103 laps. So there's most of your laps led by two guys, and he was 24th. And your next biggest lap leader was 77 laps, and that was Kyle Larson. We started from the pole, but I guess Larson's off week is this week. It's better to have it off week this week than next week because Kyle Larson has had a spectacular season. He's got nine wins and has a shot at this championship. Give a shout out to Shauna Robinson for doing the Dirty Mo podcast with Dale Jr. And Jamie Little, who won the Cisco Award. Four Fox broadcasters picked up an award, I guess, Jamie for sports. And she was also in the final four for another award. Hopefully she takes that as well. Hard to believe that I met Jamie when I started doing this back in my NJC days at Dover. She's been always came on the show. We always have a good time. I consider her a professional friend, so maybe I'll try to get her on for next week to wrap up the season. Because she did the arc, the first woman in the broadcast booth for a race in the ARCA series. Actually, the first woman to do the play-by-play in any series, I believe. She's my idol. Glad to see her terrific career take off from pit reporter. I mean, she's been in this game for quite some time now. So, that's all I can say. The race took 3 hours, 42 minutes, 48 seconds. Average speed, 70.9. Margin of victory, 0.472. It was Bowman's sixth career victory in the Xfinity Series. 15 cautions for 19 laps. And 15 lead changes amongst seven drivers. Next race, November 7th. Ooh, next week's show will be my birthday show. That's right. It'll be my birthday. Yes, I will do a show on my birthday. It's only a day. I don't care. I might give out my age. It's just a number to me. Anybody that knows me knows it's just a number to me. Nobody can guess my age, so that's always a good thing. Anyway, yada, yada, yada. Let's check out the Final Four. It is, of course, Kyle Larson. Chase Elliott advances on points. He's second. Actually, they're all the same amount of points. They all start off at 5,000. So whatever points you get in that last race dictates who takes home the title. So it's not just winning the race. As long as you have the best finish out of everybody, you get that advantage. So it's Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Martin Truex Jr., and Denny Hamlin. How ironic is this? You have two Chevy teammates for Hendrick Motorsports, Larson and Elliott, Elliott being your defending champion, and then two teammates from Joe Gibbs, Hamlin and Truex, and the only one that has a championship is Martin Truex. So that's pretty interesting. So it should be pretty interesting to see who comes down to a better record at Phoenix. I'm not going to pick anybody. I haven't really picked anybody this year because it's been a strange year and all that. And usually I get lucky, maybe get one guy a season that actually wins. So, but I'm just curious who's done what. Well, let's see if we can pick up our... Well, they have all four championship drivers, and of course Alex Bowman, because he's the only one who won the race and isn't in that top four. So let's get a few clips from there.
All right, we're going to roll into our post-race media availabilities here in Martinsville for today's Xfinity 500. We are now joined by Denny Hamlin, who is locked into the Final Four, headed to Phoenix next week. We will take questions for Denny. If you have a question, raise your hand, state your name and affiliation, and we'll take as many questions as we can in the time that we have available with Denny. And who would like to kick us off? All right, we'll go to Jeff.
I mean, did you sense that was coming from contact was coming from him before it happened? Did you feel like it was inevitable, or?
I mean, I think he sent us on the first lap after the restart. He just pushed us all the way until we got into the shits in 3 and 4. So that didn't work. I got back position on him, and then he just kept running into us, and I finally just moved up and said, all right, fine. If you're better, just go past. And I think he saw it wasn't going to be easy, so he just took the easiest route possible.
So, how do you view that, going forward? Because I guess he had said on radio, at least, that some incident in Texas you had, and you said, hey, I'll give you a ride on my plane to make up for it or something like that. You were apologetic. And
what?
You had gotten into him at some point, and you said to make up for it, you'd give him a ride on your jet, is what he said.
Okay.
Anyway. I guess you're more even than that now in his view, but
okay.
Anyway, I mean, how do you race him going forward? I mean, you have a championship to race for, so.
Yeah, I mean, you just you find ways to settle it.
All right, additional questions for Denny downstairs. All right, we'll go upstairs. Are there any questions upstairs? Go ahead.
Danny, just your race in general, the start, back today, you said that you're pretty confident you can make it all the way front. Just how how satisfied were you in doing what you said you would do by being able to get up there and fight for victory?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we've just been really strong on these short tracks. You know, no matter how far we're down in horsepower, how much, you know, better, you know, Hendrick cars are in general, we're fighting and we're clawing and we're still finding ourselves with a shot to win each week. And so it's just, I knew that our 750 program in general has just been a lot better than the 550 this year. You know, some of the advantages that the Chevys have, it's not as big. It doesn't show up as much on tracks like this. So you're able to just kind of, you know, finesse your way around the track. You know, obviously it wasn't ideal starting in the back, but I knew pretty early that, you know, after an adjustment or two, that, like, it was a good enough car to go up there and contend.
There's Denny Hamlin. Anyway, that's our show for today. If you live in Virginia, well, if you live anywhere, it's election day. Go vote. We have big ones in Virginia and New Jersey for governors. All eyes are on Virginia, so... I will get on out of here and let you all go do your thing. We'll see you all next week. I'm Benny B. Good day and good racing. Bye now.